Become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Welcome to the show! Woohoo! It's time for another ETL Daily. I am your host, The J Shrum. Welcome to the show. But I'm also here with Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot!
Hello!
What up, Steven?
Oh, nothing.
We also have another special guest.
Recurring.
Yeah, recurring guest. Everyone should be familiar with him. That is Adam! Adam Sexton, that is. Let's just give him a call right here. Let's see if Adam is there. Hello, Adam, are you there? Hello, Adam. Is this Adam Sexton?
This is. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
It's Adam, not what's up? From the Bay Area.
I just returned from a Five Nights at Freddy's tournament. Just a lot of people going, like screaming. No, but how's it going, Adam? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me, sir, once again.
Ruby Rudd! Hey, it's been a crazy week of movie news and stuff, so we could talk about that. But also, all three of us saw a film called Jupiter Ascending, which I loved, by the way. And I guess I didn't get the memo, Adam, but apparently everyone was supposed to shit on the movie. Am I right?
And some have.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Doesn't it? You can't tell me there's not this gang up mentality. It feels like everybody just kind of, okay, this is a movie we're going to shit on when it comes out later. It just feels like that.
It really does, and I'm not sure if it's just people just being snarky or whatever, but you would think that the most successful movie domestically last year had a talking tree and a talking raccoon that likes firearms and explosives. You would think that we have crossed the barrier for movies with crazy,
right,
or crazy characters or scenarios, but apparently it needs to have a Marvel logo in front of it in order for anyone to swallow it.
I really don't know. I thought we all had, we were all more open-minded by now.
No, we're not.
Because, you know, I even saw, like, I was listening to EW Weekly or EW Radio on Sirius. Every once in a while I'll listen to that just because, you know, there's nothing to listen to and they'll talk about movies or something. But they were, like, making fun of the line where Mila Kunis says, Channing Tatum says, I have more in common with a dog than I do you or royalty. And she goes, I love dogs. That's a funny line in the movie, but they were taking it out of context and they were making fun of it as like, oh, that's so bad. Such horrible dialogue. And I was like, bitch, have you seen the effing movie? Then shut your mouth.
Everyone in the theater laughed at that line, including myself. It was not at her, but it was just a funny line.
They have good chemistry together, and it was funny.
She also, her character also kind of thinks, at the end of the scene, she goes, oh, why did I say that? She kind of recognizes it. Even if you thought it was a dumb line, the movie then tries to make fun of it, so it kind of deflates that.
Right, totally. Now, okay, let's start over with this, because I just kind of started off on a rant about Jupiter Ascending, but
it's a good movie, but people suck.
Did you guys enjoy the film?
Yes.
Yes.
And Adam, you enjoyed it too. When the credits were rolling and the film was ending, here's what I felt like. First of all, Michael Giacchino's score I thought was amazing. I thought it was like one of the best scores he's done in a long time. It had so much energy to it. But I was like on this adrenaline high when it ended. That battle between Channing Tatum's fight with the winged dinosaur was freaking awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was.
And there was the... Somebody made a bad comment about that fight scene. The device he uses to get through the floor, you know.
Uh-huh.
And when he pulls it off, you know, and it traps the monster.
That was awesome.
And they were like, that was so stupid. You know, I saw somebody write that as a
Why
comment.
Why was that I'm stupid?
Like, I was like going, that is a perfect, you know, you've closed up the little portal.
The hover boots was so cool, too. I want hover boots, man. And I saw, Adam, you made a comment like, screw hoverboard, I want hover boots.
It is pretty cool. I mean, I like the way that he basically explains it to her, how you can go up, but it's a little more difficult. But usually when you see him, he's kind of always constantly descending, but he's bouncing off buildings or other mm-hmm. things to just kind of keep himself airborne. I can't imagine just how difficult it was to not only pull that off both practically and how to apply CGI to it. I mean, it's pretty insane. I can't wait to see, you know, when it comes out on Blu-ray, if they put out any supplemental material showing how they did that.
Another thing is, when I got it in my head that this was a live action anime, that really worked for me. Because in a lot of ways, wasn't The Matrix highly influenced by, not just philosophy and stuff like that, but highly influenced by Japanese anime?
Yes.
And you got that in here, especially the girl on the hover bike and just the appearance of everything. Mm-hmm. This was kind of a crazy world. And if you ever watched an anime, they don't mess around with getting the story in gear. You're just expected to follow along. They're not like...
spoon feeding you.
Yeah, they're not at all. And this is the thing that bothered me about a lot of criticisms that I read, is that you can't follow this plot. It's like, I followed it just fine. I did. I had no problem following it. Did you? There's a couple... Okay, I needed closed captioning with the dinosaur guy sometimes. I didn't understand what he was saying, but I got the gist, you know? And Eddie Redmayne is hilarious. He's fun in the movie. You know, he's that talk the way he talks. You know?
Yeah.
I could tell he was having fun with it, but I guess people just want to call it, you know...
I like that he had that kind of demeanor voice that way, and then he got angry, and it just raised up.
It just erupts. Yeah,
it just erupts. There was no in between.
And I was waiting, like, why doesn't Mila Kunis, why doesn't Jupiter Jones just clock him one? And then finally she's like, she does, you know. I was just waiting for him to be like, oh, or something.
I think his decision, it isn't just to play it big, but it also provides a contrast to his brother and sister. Otherwise, he's just another British guy trying to play evil. It's like you can't have all these people act like they're Imperial soldiers during Star Wars, where they're all like British acting people.
Right.
British acting people. I don't even know why I said that, but it really does distinguish him from them, as far as also reflecting his demeanor and what he thinks of other people. It's a bold choice, and yes, maybe some people will laugh at it, maybe unintentionally, but I actually liked it. I mean, you just know what to think about this guy just from the very start, before he does anything really, you know, nasty.
You know, and I was even thinking about the beginning of the movie after, you know, I'd seen it, and there may be some things that I didn't, you know, that remember when it introduces his character and his siblings, they're on a vacant planet. It's like this futuristic city, but there's nobody there.
Right.
And you wonder why. But when I was thinking back, oh, I know why that was.
Yeah.
Because of what that water, I called it Aqua Vita, because there's a Twilight Zone episode where everybody grows young drinking Aqua Vita. And I was like, oh, they totally Aqua Vita'd that place. But yeah, that it's And there is a cool, like, when you think of Soylent Green as people kind of thing, it's a cool nod to that kind of thing. I love the fact that you find out that, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. Is anybody going to see this, or you're all like, I heard it was bad. I heard it was a huge flop. First of all, I'm getting way off subject here now. I've gone on another tangent. When I hear people say something like,
I heard it was bad.
Yeah, I heard that was bad. It didn't make any money at the box office. How many movies that you like when you watch it on cable or whatever, do you know what the box office take was? I never know. I never knew. I just know I like the movies. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is called Near Dark with Bill Paxton, Lance Henriksen, where they're vampires. Mm-hmm. Catherine Bigelow directed it. That movie didn't make a dime at the box office. That doesn't mean shit. It's a great movie.
Right.
Like, I have no idea how much The Road Warrior made at the box office. It doesn't matter. Blade Runner was a flop. Oh, better not watch that. I heard that was a huge flop. I better not watch it. It's friggin' Blade Runner.
It's convoluted. It's hard to follow.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't understand.
What's
with
the unicorns?
Please help me out, Adam. Please explain this to me.
Well, yeah. Well, I've never understood the whole box office angle, because unless you're an investor in the film, it's not going to affect you one way or another of how much money it makes, unless it doesn't make enough and then it gets pulled from the theater, which is what has happened to me for a couple of movies recently, yeah. Like Black Hat, which also flopped, lasted for 2 weeks. And this is going to be a movie which I'm sure costed way more than Black Hat. And people are just being snide and they'll want to go see American Sniper. However, you did have a SpongeBob movie open around the same time, and you know family movies always draw more crowds.
I saw SpongeBob the next day with my wife and my daughter and my niece and my mother-in-law. So, but the theater was packed. Like, there was people, strangers sitting to my left. There were strangers on the far right. It was just like, I call them strangers. They're creepy people. I don't know who these people are, but they're sitting.
There were creepy people in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But the theater was packed, and I'm just like, Jupiter Ascending had the unfortunately opened against SpongeBob, which also makes me think of this. Okay, when people say this, I've heard every Transformer movie sucks ass. You know, people are like, oh, it's horrible, Michael Bay. Those movies make so much money. Why didn't they do the same thing with Jupiter Ascending? Like, oh, the movie sucks. But look at the effects and stuff. Go see it. You went and saw friggin' Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur, and that movie sucked. Go see this. Support this. I really think that the vision of this film should have been championed. I really felt that strongly about it. Like, this film was amazing. I loved it.
It's
probably
one of the films that'll do really well over in Japan, China. They're going to follow the anime, you know, guidelines behind, you know, they'll have that kind of behind them.
I saw this one article, guys. I think it was Entertainment Weekly again. Apparently, they just want to piss me off. It was, are the Wachowskis the new George Lucas? And I just was like, flipped off my monitor. Go F yourself.
Which doesn't make any sense, seeing how George Lucas movies actually did make money, no matter what you may think of them.
But the picture they had in the article was Mila Kunis in her queen garb and Natalie Portman as Padme, like side by side, both with their ornate outfits. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
And that was such a small, really, portion of the Jupiter ending. So
some people were just really lazy.
Yeah.
All I'm saying,
it's somebody making a comment who hasn't seen the movie.
When this film is on HBO or Stars or whatever, eventually, people are going to watch it and go, dude, this is actually a lot of fun, man. I heard this sucked, and that's what's going to happen. It's one of my favorite movies I've seen this year. I just had a blast. I want to see it again. And like,
yeah, it could be the edge of tomorrow for this year. It's just, you know, this wonderful sci-fi movie that no one gave a chance, and who knows why. All the elements just seem to be there. I mean, and in, like I said, in a post Guardians of the Galaxy world, we can no longer just dismiss a movie because it seems strange to us. And the only thing that I'm worried as far as its box office performance is, how many more times are the Wachowskis going to be able to pull off a project like this? I mean, I'm looking forward to their upcoming Netflix series, which I've read a little bit more about since then, but it scares me that they may not be able to make sci-fi stuff like this.
I wish I could find the article right now, but I read that it actually did really well in the rest of the world. It made a lot of money in the rest of the world because it didn't do so well in the U.S., but it did well in everywhere in other markets. So that's good. If you can do...
All you have to do is spread a rumor in the U.S.
Yeah.
And it's true.
If you can do foreign distribution, you're not going to... Nobody's going to take away your money to make movies. Because if you've got those foreign markets, I really think that you're great. And...
I mean, really, is this movie any sillier or different than The Fifth Element with Ruby Rod? I mean,
no, it's kind of in the same vein in a way.
Right.
It's like, and I have no idea. Was that a box office hit, Adam? Do you know?
I don't recall, but I'm going to place my bet and say probably no. It probably did really well internationally, but I'm not so sure about domestically.
And it has a big following now.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah, it was more internationally successful. It was like a budget of $90 million and made $263 million internationally. I'm not seeing anything for domestic.
Oh, there's Ruby Rod again.
You had the big guys that were trying to steal the stones. You know those. You know, equivalent to the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I'm going to say Jupiter Ascending is better than The Fifth Element.
Easily.
I would say so, too.
I mean, easily, it's a movie that I'll watch when it's on because there's certain parts that crack me up, but I still am like, what is going on in this movie? And when I thought about, I don't know if I brought this up before to you guys, but I read somewhere weird things you didn't realize about The Fifth Element, and I was like, what is this? Most of them were stupid, but it was... The hero, Corbin Dallas, never meets the villain, Gary Oldman. And I was like thinking, I go, holy shit, they don't ever meet. They never have a scene together. And Gary Oldman dies from his own bomb, remember?
And
yeah, that was awesome.
Is Gary Oldman really the villain or just the henchman of the villain, which is the evil planet coming, you know?
I don't know. It's a strange movie, but...
So I mean, either way, he didn't meet either of the evil forces.
I'm just sick of everyone just painting on Jupiter Ascending.
Everyone.
Sorry, I just set that up.
Yeah, it's unfair because Jupiter Ascending is a better written, more well realized movie than Fifth Element ever was. I think Wachowskis are much better at world building, at character. Development, you know, it and we talked about this on Facebook, you, Bill, and I, about how it seems like the movie could really benefit from a longer running time because it just seems like certain characters could have benefited from just a little bit more. But it does try to cram a whole lot of stuff in, but I'll give it this.
Yeah,
it
Bill
is a standalone story. It doesn't leave any openings for a sequel.
Right. And, you know, I honestly didn't feel that way when the film was over. I know Bill did, but I wouldn't mind a longer cut. But no. I actually was thinking of sequel ideas. I was like, they could totally do a sequel where other planets, if anyone knows their fate on their planets of what they're there for, they could, or parts of the galaxy could hear that Earth is a safe haven and all these aliens from other planets start showing up here like, we're safe here, we can hide out here. And it becomes a problem because there's too many of them and they're trying to hide it all or something like that. You know what I mean? It's just an idea. I don't know.
Or the other two siblings of the alien royalty family.
Abraxas family.
Like one of them does something or... Maybe the truth about the Bill linked. I mean, you called it the rejuvenating potion. I forgot what it is.
Aquavita.
Bill linked to a story on tor.com that called it youth dew.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like if like.
Damn you, Ruby Rod.
If like the truth like that ever got out, I maybe that would cause some ruckus in the galaxy, or maybe it wouldn't. I have no idea, but
I think it would, because it seems like is only that family getting it? They're hoarding the shit.
They're hoarding, but they only it's very expensive to get. So it sounds like there might be other royal families.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So I mean,
oh,
it
okay.
Could be,
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it could be the other royal families are going to vie for that Aqua Vita formula.
We just keep calling it Aqua Vita. But if anybody, just look up Aqua Vita on YouTube and Twilight Zone. That was what it was, or was it The Outer Limits? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I'm going to have to look myself right now. Just
it was probably a newer Twilight Zone.
It wasn't it. It was Christopher McDonald was the guy. They would sell, like, Sparklets water. Do you remember that?
Was it? It hasn't been one of the newer Twilight Zones then.
Yeah, it was the new one. It wasn't the old one. It was Oh, here it is. It's called Twilight Zone Season 2, Episode 6, Aqua Vita. The entire episode is up on YouTube. And Christopher McDonald, basically, they say, hey, would you like a free sample of Aqua Vita? And you're like, sure. You drink it and you feel great. You look younger. But if you don't. They give you a free bottle, like a jug, and when it's you get younger, and then they're like, oh, I need some more Aqua Vita. I ran out, and they go, well, that'll be $5,000. And they're like,
sign over your car. Well,
yeah, they're
sign
like,
over your house.
People can't pay it, and they keep raising the price. And the people, when they stop taking it, they grow old, you know? And the lady, they go into debt. And the husband doesn't know what to do. He's like, I can't, we can't do this. And so she stops drinking the Aqua Vita and she turns old. And she's like, you're going to dump me. I know you don't want to be with me. And he's like, that's not true. I do want to be with you. And I forget, he disappears or something. And when he comes back, he's old. He drank some Aqua Vita just so he would age and be with her. Oh, this is so sweet. Isn't that sweet, Adam?
Yeah, it sounds sweet.
Okay, I want to. Okay, Jupiter Ascending. Go see it if you can. It's an awesome flick.
Yeah, give it a chance, because it probably won't be in theaters for very much longer. And in fact, 50 Shades of Grey may have already kicked it out of most places. So.
Oh, and that's what I wanted to say about the XD theater. I only wanted to see it in XD in 3D, because the 3D was amazing. By the way, for some reason. For the 7 o'clock showing, 7:30.
They were doing every other show.
They had the Seventh Son in there, so Steven and I had to see. They moved Jupiter Ascending back into that theater for the 10:20 showing, so we saw it at 10:20 at night. We got there an hour early, and there was already some jackasses in line.
Yeah,
like I think it was a mom and her kids or something. They were so hyper and just annoying.
Yeah.
And when this is where, I don't know if you've heard this before, Adam, but we sit on the top row center of all movies in that theater.
We don't want anyone behind us.
So the people are like, you can go in, and they're like, woo! And they're like, and they're running. And I was like,
they got told to stop running by the.
Yeah. And I was like, we're not with them. So we walk in the theater and we see them going, climb all the way to the top row center. They're like, they took our seats. God damn it. So we sit down in the middle, kind of the center of the theater, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And it was a great seating.
Yeah.
But we could hear.
It was virtually empty.
It was virtually
empty. Except for a squeaky behind us.
And then someone sat a row behind us. They put their feet up on the seat and you could hear.
Every time he stretched.
I was like, okay, what? There's like five people in the theater and they're all annoying assholes.
And Jason, the people were making all this noise. I said, if they continue, I'm climbing the stairs and going to yell at them. And Jason goes, no, you're not. He goes, yes, I will. He goes,
and I knew he
would. He goes, oh, yeah, I guess you would.
Yeah, Steven would do that. And I was like, hopefully the movie's so loud you won't be able to hear him. And it was pretty much.
Yeah.
Except for quiet scenes we hear.
Yeah, except squeaky.
Bastards.
Let me get this straight. The top center is where you and Steven like to sit in the movie theater?
Yes.
Yeah. The very top
Okay.
row.
and Bill likes to sit up close to the screen.
Yeah, I forgot what he said. Yeah, he does like to sit really up close. And when he came to visit, he was like, "Oh, I'll sit at the top. It's no big deal." But yeah, he likes to sit lower usually.
One of our reasons was your wife.
My wife hates when people kick her seat or they talk behind her.
Right.
So we started that, and I was like, you know what, this is.
And it wound up being very nice, and it was a good decision that she liked. You know.
I have some stories. When Heather was younger, man, there are some crazy stories. The funniest is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Do you remember that? my wife leaned forward to this guy. He was kind of rocking his seat. He was being loud, and. the movie had just started and he's still talking to his friend like out loud, like the movie, he's not even in a movie theater. And Heather leaned forward and she goes, "By the way, it's not just Steven and I, it's also her dad and I believe her brother was there too,
probably."
And Heather's like right in the middle, and Heather leans forward and she goes, "Excuse me, could you please stop talking, the movie started." And he said something like, "Why don't you suck my dick?" To Heather. Heather, picture her leaning back, her foot is up to her ear, and she goes, bam, and kicks the seat, like, super hard. Like, and she goes, she called him, like, an asshole or something like that, and the dude didn't even turn around or anything. He just sank down in his chair, and I swear he didn't say another word the entire movie. But I thought it would have been interesting if we would have turned around and saw a bunch of dudes like there something. But like she put him in his place.
And none of us
place.
Are small.
Yeah. She put him in his place by herself. And the dude just totally lost all of his nerve after that. Like it was just like just sat still. And you know, it's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's a funny movie. You're laughing. Every once in a while, my eyes would gravitate toward that guy. I don't even think that he was laughing or enjoying himself after that. It was so funny, but I was like, damn, Heather. But yeah, she would do stuff like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that guy, but if I was, I would have moved to another spot in the theater.
I think that the theater was packed, though. It was
was pretty packed.
It was,
I would have left then. There's no way I would sit in the movie in that state.
Wasn't it like a late Thursday night showing? It was like the first time they...
Right when the movie came out.
And the news came in there to Channel 4 or Fox News came in there.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember?
No, but what I would have done if I was that guy would have been like, "Well, I'm going to get some popcorn, you guys. You guys want anything?" And then, hey, he never came back with the popcorn.
Before the show, they had the news came in there was panning around the audience.
Okay. I vaguely remember that. I think all my memory's taken up for that incident. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I want to see the movie again because I was really distracted at the beginning of the movie, you guys. That's one of those stories like we'll laugh at, you know, Heather and I'll laugh at, but like Steven and I at a restaurant where, I don't know, Adam, this isn't it true? If you're in a parking lot and there's an open parking space or someone's backing out, you turn on your turn signal, that means it's your spot, right? Because Steven doesn't follow that rule. I was with Steven at this restaurant called Campo Verde, one of my favorite restaurants. And
but I've been driving around the parking lot longer than them.
Yeah, it was so funny. They drove up and they turned on their turn signal to get a spot. Steven goes, whoop, and drove in. So the guy is so pissed, he drives right up behind us, like right up to Steven's bumper. And Steven's like, whatever, dude, ooh, or something like that. And we got out of the car, and I think I'm going to get this right. It's not verbatim, but it's hard for me to remember, but it was hilarious. Steven goes, yeah, whatever, asshole, or something.
Jackass.
Whatever, jackass. And this lady is standing there, and she goes,
I'm married to that jackass.
I happen to be married to that jackass. And Steven goes, oh, too bad for you, or something. What did you say? Like,
I wish I could remember.
Whatever the line
was,
it was perfect. It was something like, well, good for you, or something. But the funniest part is, after that, you know, I'm laughing. I'm like, Jesus, Steven, come on. We go into the restaurant, and we're like, how long is the wait? And they're like, I'm sorry, it's going to be like an hour. It's we're really busy, and we're like, okay, and we just left. We didn't even stay.
Oh,
gold. Good time.
But yeah, anyway, go see Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah. We majorly sidetracked there, but yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I agree about the score. It reminded me a lot of, like, the score he, Giacchino, is that
or Giacchino.
The composer?
Michael Giacchino, whatever.
He did a score for John Carter, and it reminded me.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. But yeah.
You know, in fact, this had a lot of the same things. John Carter was an awesome movie, and that got shit on too. Oh, it's a huge budget movie.
Speed Racer was a good movie. That got shit on.
I love Speed Racer too. I don't understand why this keeps happening over and over again. Like, people let opinions sway them of critics. Critics are stuffy people, man.
Like, I think there should box office results should not be reported, and I could do without a site like Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, because I really think that hurts a film's potential.
Right. And you know what? When I look at Rotten Tomatoes, I always keep that in mind.
Right.
Like, I know it's, you know, it goes without saying, like, also, Paul W.S. Anderson, if he has a film that has 2%, and it's rotten, I'm not going to be like, oh, the critics may be wrong about this. I know that they're right because the guy sucks, right? Generally. Or I know that I've seen his Resident Evil films and they're a disaster, or they're messes. And, you know, you may be able to watch them. They may be watchable. It doesn't mean they're good films. But generally, I can tell when a film's not that great. Like, The Kingsman right now is 70%. It wouldn't even matter. It's a Matthew Vaughn movie, and I know it's probably pretty watchable. 50 Shades of Grey, 27% rotten. I wouldn't see that anyway.
It's going to make so much money. It's ridiculous. It's a softcore porn movie for women, and it's going to sweep everything.
Yeah, but something like The Seventh Son, that got pretty horrid reviews, but you can tell it doesn't look that great. Am I right?
No.
I don't
know.
I don't know. When I look at Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, I'm looking for a general idea, but mostly I just go
if you want to see
with,
it.
Yeah, if I want to see it anyway, you know? I'm never like, oh, wow, this film's at 100%. I'm going to go see it. I don't even do that. I know if I want to see the movie anyway, you know?
Like, I kind of use it to see it, look for certain critics on there. If I don't follow them, you know, through their own publications or whatever, usually their reviews will be collected among there, and I'll just look at what certain critics say about it. Like, there are a few that I always check out, but there are some that I don't always read, and I'll pay attention to them. But the consensus thing doesn't really bother me.
I will admit that. The only guy that I really pay attention to is Drew McWeeny. And when yes, he has an unfortunate last name, but he's a really good movie critic. I like his writing, and he likes Jupiter Ascending. And I was like, oh, good. I'm glad he likes it because, you know, I'm going to go see it. And knowing that Drew McWeeny got it right, that's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's different. Like, if I see Harry Knowles likes it, that doesn't help me at all.
That doesn't help at all. Hey, you're probably going to talk about this, but he made a special announcement regarding his show.
Yeah, his show finally came out. And you know what? I watched it. And I don't want to.
You're haunted.
I'm not the audience for the show. That's all I'll say. It's a guy talking about the shit he loves and all of his collection and stuff. But man, he needed an edit job and that. It feels like he's kind of shaky and he's like messing up a little, like what he's talking about. It's like, dude, you're on television. Do a second take or something.
Is it the same? Have they changed up the format any, or are we still getting the intro with his dad cackling to himself?
Yeah, it's the same exact intro. And basically, what I read is he did a bunch of reviews before the Nerdist dropped his show, He did a bunch of interviews with people, one of them being Danny Boyle. So now with his new show, he did, you know, he talked about new stuff, but then he was like, oh, Danny Boyle. And then they showed the old footage of his interview. And he's even talking about a film that came out in 2013 or something. So it's kind of awkward. But I guess he didn't
want to... Versus going, here's an interview I did with Danny Boyle
in 2013 or something. Yeah, he's not upfront about it. And, I read the comments, and a lot of people were pissed off that, like, you didn't even mention Kickstarter or the fact that all these people donated stuff, and you didn't give out any of the rewards or any of the stuff. He just is oblivious. He got to make his show, and I don't know. If I could skip to the part where he's just talking.
Now... The thing about Michael Curtiz, and you know, when you're picking your favorite director, you actually have to, like, go through what are your favorite films, what directors, the commonality between all those.
Right, he's
very early in my life, gravitated towards Michael Curtiz. I fell in love with The Adventures of Robin Hood as a young boy. Absolutely loved them. I know I've talked about it several times, but I'm a geek. I talk about what I love. And... Adventure of Robin Hood is just a tremendous film, but it got me in love with Errol Flynn, and I saw Errol Flynn as, like, he is my hero. So I started to watch all the Errol Flynn films. Well, all the very best ones are directed by Michael Curtiz. So you have, like, Captain Blood, Seahawks.
Are you following this, Adam?
Elizabeth Essex. But then he started switching genres, and he'd be in a Western like Santa Fe Trail or Charge of the Light Brigade, which is not a Western, but an adventure.
Yes, but why?
He, you know, just kept moving.
He's just
kind of
going, droning on and on.
Stick with someone like Flynn.
It's like, dude, follow a script.
After Captain Blood, he directed The Walking Dead, which was a horror film starring Boris Karloff. Of course, the film that most people probably consider Curtiz's greatest achievement is Casablanca, with Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman.
He holds up his two little dolls,
you know,
of...
People would look at that and go, that's
tall.
The great
his
Michael
Casablanca
Curtiz
figurines
film.
He holds
or
up.
They'd look at Adventures of Robin Hood, that's the great one. Or they'd look at, you know, all, you know, just... The host
Jesus.
Of them.
Jesus, dude.
Wealth of material.
God, he's just like, they set the camera up and just, he started talking. It's so awkward. Freaking edit it down or something.
Like you said, have a script.
And that aired locally on PBS in Austin, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Oh, it's so bad.
Painful. And the Danny Boyle interview was good because Danny Boyle says interesting things. And Harry Knowles, it's so funny because... On his desk is like a crystal ball, like he's, you know, like the Wicked Witch or something. And Danny Boyle's head is inside it talking. That's the interview. Since they, obviously a film crew went and filmed an interview with him, and now Harry's pretending like he's interacting. All he's doing is he's looking at it and smiling at this glow on his face, and he looks deranged, and there's like no point to it at all. So bizarre. So bizarre. Now,
this is clever.
Now, Adam, the news finally came through that Spider-Man will now appear in a Marvel movie. How do you feel about that?
I feel it's a nothing but good news because Sony was basically running their Spider-Man franchise into the ground. And hopefully they'll find a way to, successfully integrate this with Marvel. And what I really want, don't make another origin story. Just put him in there. He's already doing his thing, and fit him in with the rest of everyone else. But I can't wait to see how they show. I mean, because he brings his own special kind of energy and chemistry to the Avengers or whatever other heroes that he could possibly mix with, you know, in the comics. So I can't wait to see what they do that as far as movie wise.
I basically want him to show up because, okay, the viewer. Is there anybody who's going to go see Captain America, Civil War? That's what I believe Spider-Man's going to appear in, right? That anyone's going to go, who's that guy? Who is that? And it's like, oh, Spider-Man. Well, how did he get his powers? Where did he come from? Oh, you just need to see the other movies.
You got bit by a spider.
Yeah, you got bit by a radiator. Nobody is going to say that. Everyone knows.
I've been bit by a spider. How come I don't?
Who's he dating right now? It's Mary Jane, or it might be Gwen Stacy. Shut up. Don't you? Who cares?
Depends on the depends on the story.
But see, now,
one's dead and one.
First of all, the news finally came through, and I'm literally total. I call me fanboy geek or whatever, but I was like, oh, yes, all right, woohoo, bitchin' or whatever. So, but now we're going to have to deal with all of the rumors of who will be Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah.
And this is the latest ones. And I don't mind. This isn't so bad. Rumors are, guys, I heard this through the grapevine, is that they're looking at Daniel Radcliffe, none other than Harry Potter, to be Peter Parker, Spider-Man. What do you guys think about that?
I'll spread it.
That could work.
I hear PCZ Steven's going to be
PCZ Steven. Another rumor that I heard this rumor long, long ago, and it was the guy, his name is Logan Lerman. He was in Percy Jackson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Perks of Being a Wallflower. That guy is who they have as a front runner. But I heard that even before the news of Spider-Man actually being in a Marvel movie happened, so... People said that kind of shit, so...
You know, I'm fine with Logan Lerman. I mean, he's become... He's got some good performances in him, and he's still very much age-appropriate for it, so I think he could do a good job, if that's who they go with.
And, you know, I gotta be honest, I haven't read Spider-Man comics in a long time, but I know there's all these other Spider-Men or something... There's even this one, Miles something, he's a black Spider-Man, and people are saying, Donald Glover should be Spider-Man, you know, from Community, that guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not up on that character, but if he, I don't mind, I don't care at this point, but as long as someone's really cool, it'd be awesome. Some people were saying, I don't know the story of Civil War, but Bill kind of told me about it, whereas... Captain America and Iron Man are basically foes because Tony Stark wants all the superpowered people to come forward with their identities, right?
Right.
And Captain America thinks that's bullshit. That's no, you shouldn't do that. People need privacy or whatever. And Spider-Man basically is unmasked in the story. Some people are saying, don't tell us who's playing Spider-Man until that unmasking moment in the movie. And then we're like, holy shit! That while that would be cool, it'd also be totally distracting because people go, holy shit, it's Daniel Radcliffe, freaking Harry Potter, Spider-Man, or something. You know what I mean? Like, let me ask you this, Adam. This is a good example. Adam, was it distracting in Interstellar when a certain actor, well-known actor, is revealed to be in the movie? Was it distracting?
Not really distracting, no.
I mean,
it was like, kind of surprising, but not distracting.
Did you do this?
Well, anyone... I don't know if I do that publicly, but I would do like a lesser version of that. Sure,
an old lady behind you go.
He was more like, "Oh,
what is he doing in the movie?"
But the weird thing is, I didn't expect any character to show up at that movie at that point. Like, I was under the impression that they weren't going to find anyone or everyone was going to be dead, but then they just happened to find him. So I guess it was more a surprise that I thought that they found someone at all.
But in this age of the internet, there's no way they could not reveal who Spider-Man is, the actor playing him. Don't you agree? It'd be impossible.
People want to know. Yeah. They'll argue that they have to know.
Yeah. Tell me! I'll kill you!
what you could trick everybody and hire both of the actors, and they both come to set. You don't know who it is until the unmasking.
You know, one guy that I thought wouldn't be good, I don't know, do you watch The Flash?
Uh-huh.
The guy who plays The Flash would be a good Spider-Man, I think. But he's already The Flash, so it might be weird, but... Still, they just got to get Peter Parker right, and Spider-Man, it's a dude in a suit, and they'll get that right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just be a good actor. That's all I'm asking. Okay, guys, there's a show from a long time ago. I'm going to say, Steven, your childhood, it might be my childhood, is being resurrected for no reason. Nobody asked for this.
What show is this?
Okay. I'm going to give you a hint. All right. Okay. Here's the hint. Okay.
Sigma, you are a rotten sea monster. Oh.
Sigma, you're through.
Scram! Get out of here.
That's the Star Blazers.
That's right, Sid Marty Krofft's Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Or as I called it, Sigmund the Sea Monster. But it's called Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. So anyway, for some reason, Amazon... I like this article. The first sentence is, sweet Jesus, Amazon, which has clearly gone mad with their new ability to create their own content, has announced they'll be making a brand new version of Sid and Marty Krofft's bizarre 70s children's show, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, with Krofts, the Krofts themselves. Why? No man can say.
Well, look, the show isn't going to remake itself. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you need those lunatics doing it, but... One thing I know, it's got to be a guy in a really shitty suit. It can't be CGI, am I right?
It would lose
it has
its
to be
charm.
Shitty,
it would lose its charm.
Yeah. I watched the hell out of that show when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I dug it.
I've never heard of it.
Burp and Slurp.
What's that? You've never heard of it?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it's all on YouTube, man. You gotta catch up. After you watch the Aqua Vita episode of Twilight Zone, you need to watch some Sigmund.
Okay, now, listening to that clip just a second ago, the mom of Sigmund, is that George Costanza's mom?
It might be. I don't know.
I mean, listen to that voice.
Yeah.
And you tell me, as like, holy cow, that sounds like her.
Sigmund's family were all assholes, weren't they?
Right, yeah.
And his he had a brother, brothers, Burp and Slurp, and they were total dicks, man.
Burp and Slurp.
Oh, man, it's good stuff. But for some reason, Amazon is bringing that show back, which, awesome. I'm going to try to get my daughter to watch it. I want to show my daughter the,
well, right now,
the intro and see her go like, what in the hell?
That would be hilarious. And I'd like, it'd be fun to see them do other ones, you know, the Far Out Space Nuts or Lost Saucer.
Mm-hmm. I watch those.
And he and Adam's going, what the hell are you
the
guys
Bugaloos.
Talking about?
The only one that kind of made, everyone knows is Land of the Lost was a Sid and Marty
Or H.R. Puffin stuff.
H.R. Puffin.
Those stuff. Are the two probably popular ones that everybody knows.
But they had a lot of awesome ones. Lidsville.
Mm-hmm.
All create Wonderbug.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of crazy shit. But speaking of Amazon, today, Bosch Season 1 is up on Amazon. 10 episodes. And I watched the first two. I'd already actually seen the pilot like, what was it, a year and a half ago, whenever it was. And I rewatched it just to get caught up, you know. And they've actually changed some scenes. I don't know if it's because they changed a couple of actors or whatever. And I think that's probably why. But they refilmed some scenes, and there's some whole scenes taken out that I remember. But I watched the first two episodes, and it's so far I can't wait to binge watch this sucker. What about you, Adam? You going to check Bosch out?
I am. I resubscribed near the end of last week, so basically what I've used it for is just watching a couple of movies. I think I watched the pilot episode of Justified. Just to kind of go back and see where the characters were in, you know, relation to where they are now. But, yeah, there's so much good stuff on there that I didn't even consider. So, I'm happy I renewed my subscription,
you know,
but yeah, I will definitely check out, Bosch at some particular point.
You know, it's funny that, I was talking about like, oh, cool. They have, Firefly on here in HD. A couple of days later, I noticed, oh, they have it on Netflix, too.
Yeah.
They have Firefly and HD on Netflix. I got it to watch Bosch, basically. And, of course, for...
Sigmund.
Yeah, for Sigmund. And hopefully that comes back before it expires. I'm going to be pissed. But,
How long
no.
can it take to film that? A week?
Also, the two-day shipping, which is good. And I still don't have any kind of Kindle thing for any of the free books. What did you say? You get to borrow two books a month or something?
I think that's how the lending library thing works. But I don't have a Kindle, so I can't tell you.
I've messed around with their Prime Music, and I've found a lot of stuff on there that you can stream and listen to, which is pretty cool. And there's also an Android app where I could put it on my phone and listen to the music if I wanted to. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I subscribed at the $72 rate for the year.
And
Yeah.
So you can watch all those shows, too, on your computer
Since I'm out of town.
Yeah.
If I can stream them, if they're...
Mm-hmm.
Bandwidth is good enough at the hotel.
Right. That's always the thing, isn't it?
Don't.
I want to ask you guys this. I don't know. Like, Adam, did you watch Better Call Saul?
I have not, because I'm still behind on Breaking Bad, and I don't think I should jump off into a spinoff series before I take care of that.
Right. I can understand that. It's great. The first two episodes are fantastic. Just so you know, the excellence from Breaking Bad definitely does carry over. And it's a worthy thing to watch after you finish Breaking Bad. Now, okay, I'll ask you guys this. Did you watch The Return of the Walking Dead?
Yes.
Did you? Adam, you don't watch it, I think.
Not really.
I will say this. It really hurts The Walking Dead having Better Call Saul, which is excellent, after it. Watching him back-to-back, I was like, wow, Walking Dead sucks compared to this show. But, you know, that's not fair, but I will say this.
But it won't be continually on after it.
No. But I will say this, though. You know, Bill, he would grow restless with Walking Dead, and I would continue to defend it, but I don't think I can anymore. Yes, I watch every episode as soon as it comes out, and I'll continue to be a viewer, but at the same time, I'm always just like, I get near restless, or the storytelling, the way they do they try to do symbolism, and it's just insulting.
Oh, the very artistic one this week.
Yeah. Would you say they were trying to be artistic?
Yes.
Were you moved at all by this?
No.
One thing is that this is one thing you'll see, Adam, like on Facebook or Twitter, like people you know, they'll say, oh man, I was in tears by the end of that Walking Dead. And I'm like, why? I didn't feel anything. I'm like a robot. You could kill any member of this cast and I will not give a shit because the show doesn't earn it. It doesn't earn that they're real human beings. It doesn't make me feel for them. There is one moment where Lori died and the actor, Andrew Lincoln, he made me feel for him through his acting. It wasn't through the writing.
Right.
It was the way he was like, oh, and he mourned and everything. I felt that. It's a human emotion or whatever. But the writing... it doesn't live up to their performances. I think they have a lot of great actors on the show. I just think that they try to do this artsy stuff or whatever. Like you said, the artsy thing, but yeah, it's kind of, they're trying to do the editing where
that episode was trying to be, I'm not saying it wasn't artsy, but it was trying too hard to be artsy.
Basically, I put it like this. When you're telling a story, you have certain tools you use. And you get used to those. Like, one thing, Breaking Bad has a certain elements that they use, and it works to a T. It works perfectly. When you watch Better Call Saul, you realize Vince Gilligan still is at the height of his Breaking Bad powers, storytelling powers. I know there's a lot of other people working on the show, too, and directing and stuff, but they're still at the height of what they're doing. The Walking Dead still hasn't gotten to that level where they're still using all their same tricks or whatever, but it's not working for me on an emotional level. Like, it starts with, like, your and it's a shovel digging into the dirt, and it's supposed to be like, oh, this is some heavy shit, like somebody died and they're digging a grave.
Well, the lead up to believe for that one was, you think they're burying the girl from last season.
Yeah.
And
but it turns out it's somebody else.
Right.
But who gives a shit? I felt nothing. The show needs to win me back over big time. I'm just... you're losing me, man.
And they do the little flashes. They keep flashing forwards and backwards.
They keep doing... One thing that they do, Adam, is they jump like it's in the past. It's in the future. It's right now. It's in the past, future, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like...
And there's almost no reference point to be able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Until...
One show that does this excellent, and they almost do it every week, and they do it way better than The Walking Dead did, and that is a show called Banshee, which is a batshit insane show on Cinemax that Heather loves, and I like it too. It's insane, but they do the jump ahead, whatever, perfectly. They do it so well. So when you see somebody else attempt it and they don't really pull
it off.
It's
like they saw Banshee and are trying to kind of mirror it.
Yeah, something like that. I hate to be hard on the show, but I'm just, it's not that great and it's not making me cry. I don't know why people keep saying, yeah, I was brought to tears. And I'd be like, well, you're a wimp then. What's wrong with you? Because I've been brought to tears before on a show. I don't get it. I don't get it, Adam. Please explain this to me.
I haven't seen the show. I don't know why you don't get it.
I'm just messing around. So the Best of Saturday Night Live is coming on a certain day of this week. I can't remember what day it was on.
Sunday.
Sunday?
On Saturday night. It's on Sunday
it's
night.
It's not. No, it'd be Saturday night, isn't it?
No, they've been advertising Sunday night at 7.
That makes no sense. It should be on...
It's a special. It doesn't have to follow the rules.
Yes, it does. It has to be on Saturday night. I bet you it comes on Saturday night. There's no way it comes. Come on. I'm checking the guide. It says make any...
You think I'm crazy.
Make any GD sense, man. Okay, I'm doing the skip ahead thing.
I'm not crazy.
What? Saturday Night Live... 40th anniversary special is on Sunday night.
Okay. So where's my apology?
I was wrong, Steven. I apologize.
There we go.
You caught that, Adam, before I edited it out of the show. So. All right, Adam, what's the next big movie you're excited to see in the theater?
Well, like I said before, The Kingsman would probably looks like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, do you think you're going to go see that this weekend?
Yeah, probably either tomorrow or Sunday. I'm just too tired for I was too tired for anything today, just due to the work week I had. And also, I kind of want to avoid the onslaught that's attending for 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, Steven and I are going to go see 50 Shades of Grey tonight.
We can't wear the outfits, so they banned it.
No, their outfits? Kidding.
Okay, here's what
people were supposed to be dressing up, and you're not allowed to bring props into the theater.
Props?
There's people who are going to be dressing up and acting. I don't know if it's acting it out, but there was a big thing saying, yeah, you can't bring whips or handcuffs.
Yeah.
What?
People were going to bring whips and handcuffs
in
there, obviously.
Yeah, I heard that too. Very silly. But okay, this is disappointing. The Kingsman, which should be in XD, is not, and 50 Shades of Grey is in XD. Boo! So
why
is it
in XD for?
Kingsman is in a theater called Digital Cinema, so it's probably in the closet-sized theater.
And Jupiter Ascending's already gone?
Jupiter Ascending, no, it's still out. They've got 3 showings of it in real 3D. So at least it's still in 3D. And 2 showings of Seventh Son. You know, Adam, I've never asked you this, but are you much of a Stephen King reader?
Yeah. I think the last ones I read were, like I said, and I've mentioned this on the show before, like The Shining and Dr. Sleep I read back to back, I think, right, 2 years ago. And even though I own a copy of it, a hardcover copy of it, last week I got The Stand for $5 from the Google Play Store.
Yep.
And I'm trying to work on the Dark Towers series. I'm on the 3rd book right now.
Nice.
I've got quite a few of his books on my shelf. Some I've read, some I've not. Some I'm not too sure about, like the Tommyknockers. But, yeah, I generally like his stuff.
Tommyknockers was good. I liked it. I've read a lot of his stuff over the years.
You like pretty much all of it, don't you? I mean, it's all
Misery
good.
Was the only one I had a hard time with so far. And that's the only one I stopped reading. I just couldn't get into it. So right now, and I think Jason knows that I started from the beginning, and I'm going to read all his books in order.
Right.
And I'm halfway through The Stand right now. So.
Well, I wanted to throw this out there, is that Hulu is going to do the series of 11/22/63, the Stephen King novel, and James Franco is going to star in it. And you guys know what that book's about, right? Where a guy travels through time and he realizes he can stop
prevent the assassination.
Yeah, he can prevent the Kennedy assassination. And it's interesting because, you know, I remember seeing a long time ago that J.J. Abrams was going to produce it. And, you know, I was like, is it going to be HBO series? Is it going to be on ABC? Or is it going to be like Under the Dome on CBS? But it's going to be a Hulu series. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
I got to get Hulu, I guess. Or I'm going to watch it over here.
Yeah, you can watch it over here. But should we read the book first?
I would, because I don't know anything more than just the description you gave.
I have the book, and I meant to read it, but I haven't gotten
like 3 copies of the book.
Really? You need to mail one to Adam? 3 copies? One's holding the door open.
One's a paperweight.
I've got 2 copies. I've got an American edition and the British edition.
So, but it's going to be a while till you catch up to that because you're reading them in order.
Yeah, I'm an avid collector of first editions of King. So.
But you don't need to read the book first. You can watch the show. Right?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that because. I mean, they're talking about redoing The Stand as well.
First of all, you know, like we had that experience already. Like, Adam, you saw The Shining, Kubrick's The Shining, before you read the book, right?
Right.
It didn't take anything away. I mean, yes, I did have trouble not picturing Jack Nicholson, but he does not describe Wendy as like Shelley Duvall at all.
Or Jack Nicholson
not at all.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. But did you picture the kid from The Shining as you read about Danny in the book?
I could picture him.
Yeah. him, and Jack and the Scatman Crothers characters, definitely.
Yeah, definitely Scatman.
Yeah, I couldn't get him out of my head. Mm-hmm. And now I'm reading the Stand, and they make a reference to Shining, having the ability to...
Mother Abigail, she can shine, can't she?
Yep.
Grandmother called it the shine.
I love it. But, I guess that's the only thing. If I were to read the book after watching the series, would I picture James Franco as the main guy? It's like, no, I picture David Soul, the guy who was in Salem's Lot. Come on, he'd be a perfect leading man.
See, and I can't remember if I've seen... I'm sure I've seen Salem's Lot, the movie. But to actually remember it, I don't remember it. Because that was so long ago. And I've never rewatched it from like the late 70s, early 80s, whenever it was filmed.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, I'll check it out.
And like I said, they're redoing both it and The Stand as well.
Yeah, we've been reading about the Stand rumors for a long time. I'm wondering if it's ever going to happen.
Well, true, but I thought they are working on it though, right?
Uh huh.
I believe.
Yeah, I think
so.
Yeah,
it's going to be a 2-part movie.
I think I've read that more when it's like
until it's set in stone. Then
yeah,
I
when
don't
it's close
it.
To done.
But that's the rumor. It'll be a 2-part movie.
That's pretty cool. You read it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you watch the miniseries on TV. I mean, obviously the book is better, right?
Yeah.
But what did you think of the TV series?
It really wasn't too bad. I mean, honestly, for being a TV movie.
Right. Well, like The Stand even was on, wasn't it ABC miniseries?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching it. I'm just trying to remember what channel it came on. They can't include a lot of the stuff in the book, the more graphic things.
And they've combined characters.
Right. But do you think they did a decent job?
Stand? Yeah, because there's certain characters I did like.
Mm-hmm.
I
remember Rob Lowe being good in that. I mean,
Rob Lowe was good.
He plays a character that doesn't even speak, right? Isn't he mute?
And Patrick Starr.
Yeah, Dauber.
Dauber.
M-O-O-N.
He was great in that.
Randall Flagg's kind of hilarious, though. Jamie Sheridan played him.
Yeah, that character. I didn't care for him, but Miguel Ferrar probably would have been a better Dark Man.
Was he miscast? Like, why didn't he get the Randall Flagg? Yes. But, you know, we've heard the news that Matthew McConaughey would play Randall Flagg. That's pretty good casting.
That would be okay. That would be good.
What do you think, Adam? Pretty cool?
Sure. I mean, I'm as familiar with the book as I am. I can remember when the miniseries came out and didn't watch it, though I owned a copy of Entertainment Weekly that had a big cover story on it.
All right.
But what was his the one that played Harold?
Let's see. I remember Gary Sinise was Stu. Corn Nemec. Yeah, Parker Lewis.
Yeah, and in the book, he's a fat, pasty white kid. He's not the skinny, you know.
In the TV show, he was Parker Lewis.
Yeah,
he can't lose.
he definitely can't lose.
No,
but the character Harold is overweight and pasty nerd, and he's a skinny nerd in the TV show.
Oh, I was going to ask you this, Adam. Moving on to a different subject now, because we like to talk video games, right? There's this new zombie game called Dying Light that my sister keeps telling me, you got to play Dying Light. It's awesome. Do you have any inclination to play that?
Sort of. I've heard conflicting reviews about it from some of my friends. I had a friend who got it from Gamefly, and he says it's a very competently well-made first-person survival action game with zombies in it. But he says there's a little too much similarity to the Dead Island series. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's got some parkour elements, and it's got an interesting way that interesting day and night cycle that changes the way that what enemies you have to deal with and how you have to deal with them. And, I've heard good and bad things, but, it's not on my radar right now because I've got so many other things I'm interested in, but,
right.
It's kind of hard to pinpoint whether or not I'd want to play that.
There's a new game also called Evolve that looks pretty awesome.
That does look interesting.
It's like by the makers of Left 4 Dead, but it's one guy plays the monster that mutates and gets bigger and bigger the longer he lasts, and the players play the hunters hunting the monster, and it looks pretty fun. If you have
it does.
Have a group of friends to play it, I think.
Yeah, I've heard the best way that game works is when everyone's in communication and working together. Right. Otherwise, it's just going to be kind of like a pain in the butt.
It's like, I don't have any friends. Who am I going to play this game with?
Right.
Get matched up online with other people.
I don't want to play with strangers.
But isn't that basically, I mean, because I can remember, I mean, well, obviously it's been documented that maybe Steven played with y'all, but y'all played Left 4 Dead 2 quite a bit.
Yeah. Bill and I did.
Didn't that game kind of depend on group communication or team or teamwork?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times it would be just me and Bill with two bots. But every once in a while, like Laura would join us, or Andy, or another listener or something. Somebody on our friends list would join us. And it is so much fun when you're with live people. The best thing about that game is that you have everything planned. Like, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then something goes wrong, and things keep getting worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, like, two people are down. Oh, hold on a second. I'm coming to you. And then you get jumped, and then there's one person left. Oh, shit. And then everyone just gets screwed. But that would be the funniest times. You'd just be laughing, like, what the hell happened? Everything was going great. And then you'd just be like, damn it. But, games like that can be fun. But, you know, my sister loaned me a game. Tell me if you've heard of this. It's called The Evil Within.
I have heard of it.
And I was like, can I play this in front of Emma? And she goes, no. It's from the makers of Resident Evil, and it's super bloody and scary. And I go, oh, okay. I don't want to play that in front of my daughter. So, thanks. Oh, my God.
That's evil laugh. That's a movie.
Evil laugh. Oh, there's my dog barking again. It's always hard to tell, Adam, if you like the mic is picking her up or not.
We're distracted by it.
And it's so funny because when I was recording the Chuck show, as I was talking, she'd be going, brr, and I'd be like, damn, shut up. You're messing me up. She's driving me crazy.
Well, I'm using the Skype app on my phone, so maybe it's faint and I just can't hear the dog as well.
Are you on your phone right now?
Yeah.
You sound great. It's a good quality. Oh, ghost.
But yeah, speaking of horror games, Gamefly sent me Alien Isolation recently.
Oh.
And I want to check that out. I want to try it out. Have you heard much about it?
Oh, yeah, totally. That's another game that Laura's like, you got to play it. It's so scary. I'm like, why do you think I want to play scary games?
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. I think the only horror game that I've been able to stomach was Last of Us, which had a lot more going for it than just the survival encounters, but it was pretty tense. But
see, what swept me up in that game was the story. I like being swept up by story.
Right, and the only bad thing I've heard about Alien Isolation is that it goes on for too long. I think like the main thing, Kate, takes you like 20 hours or so. So you're on edge for like 20 hours, basically. So this may be the kind of game I'll have to play in like chunks or just, you know, maybe an hour or two or whatever.
Wow, but Ripley wasn't even on the Nostromo that long, was she?
Well, I think this is happening on a different ship. I mean, it looks that way, but the level design is so similar to that of the Nostromo, and they seem to have perfectly recaptured the looks and the sounds, you know, that weird ambiance of the ship.
Yeah, I will say that the graphics and the way the ship looks and everything look really good. They look spectacular.
Yeah, but it's definitely playing into the whole survival thing because I'm told for a long time you don't have any weapons, and the only thing you can do is either hide or sneak past silent like.
Wow.
Like I said, I'm thinking about broadcasting a feed on Twitch of me playing it just so I can have see if people watch and make fun of me as I'm screaming my head off like a little kid or something.
That would be cool. So, like when you're broadcasting, can we hear you talking at the same time?
Yeah. If I've got my microphone hooked up, definitely. And I was just thinking, you know, I've recorded a podcast about how the film franchise scared the crap out of me on two occasions. So now I've got another.
Yeah,
I've got one more way to make a fool out of myself. So
it'd be
here
so
we go.
Great if you're like you start crying while playing, I don't want to do this anymore or something like that.
I think that will happen. Yeah, but you'll be forced to go down a dark corridor that has fog and smoke and shit, and you can't see anything, and your motion detector is out, but you can't tell if it's in the room with you. Like, no, I don't want to do this.
You can't make me or something. Hey, did you guys watch the Man from U.N.C.L.E. trailer?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
It looks fun.
Looks pretty cool.
It looks like so much fun, and I was kind of surprised that Henry Cavill was rocking his accent, you know, pretty. I mean, he does it pretty well, but it looks, and Armie Hammer looks like he's having a whole lot of fun. But I know nothing about the show. I've never seen it, but it just looks like a fun take on the spy genre.
The main thing I know about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is my dad had an album of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and me wondering, what is The Man from U.N.C.L.E.? You know, let me show the trailer to Steven real quick, just so he can see what it's like.
Are they still following us?
Yes.
Is there one of them?
Hmm?
Is he looking at us?
Hmm?
Does he have just one hand on the steering wheel? When you hear something that sounds like a gunshot...
See if you can tell who directed this by the footage. Steven.
nicely done.
He recently discovered the existence of an international criminal organization with ties to former Nazis. Rumor has it
they've built an atom bomb.
We have no choice but to work together to infiltrate this organization.
We'll leave you two to get acquainted.
Napoleon Solon.
The CIA's most effective agent.
Ilya Kuryaki.
KGB, the youngest man to join in their best within 3 years.
America is teaming up with Russia.
Things could get a little messy. The thing is, I work better alone.
Could you tell? Sky Ritchie.
Okay. I'll let you tag along.
How did you get the invitation to my party?
I stole it.
So you're a thief. I hope you wear a mask.
Sometimes. Just never when I'm stealing things.
Not very good at this whole subtlety thing, are you?
It'll be like this for 20 minutes. Can't touch.
Don't make me put you over my knee.
So you want to wrestle?
I did not say that.
Shall we?
Hold on, cowboy!
For a special agent, you're not having a very special day, are you?
Do these belong to you or to me?
I've got to get this dog in here. So what do you think of that, Steven?
Yeah, it looked fun.
Looked pretty cool. Okay, quick, shut the door, Steven.
Shut up!
You're ruining the show! My dog doesn't care about podcasting, doesn't respect podcasting. Now, the same week, there's this first footage of Spectre, the new James Bond movie. Did you get to see any of that? It's really just James Bond holding a gun in the snow.
Yeah, that's all I've seen.
So super excited. He's in the snow. It's cold. One of the cool things about James Bond movies is there's been, in the history of the films, awesome skiing action scenes. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll have something like that. James Bond on one ski. You know, like, James Bond wouldn't just be on two skis, but he'd lose a ski and be on one. It would be like this amazing footage. So they need to have some fun with that. Bring that stuff on there.
I agree.
It'd be pretty awesome. Do we know who's going to direct that, by the way? Who's directing?
Yeah, it's Sam Mendes again.
Oh, okay. Cool. He did a good job on the last one.
Yes, he did.
Did we see Skyfall?
Yeah, we saw Skyfall in the movie theaters. At the theater.
At the movies.
Yep.
At the moving picture, at the moving box. Pictures.
Yeah. At the pictures.
The Nickelodeons.
The picture show, yeah. Oh, my God. It's like great-grandmother. You went to the picture show? You went to the talkies? It's like, yeah, they have talkies. Sound now, Grandma.
And color.
Color?
That'll make you go blind.
Okay, I wanted to talk about this because I wanted to rant about this. Because you guys remember when Neil Blomkamp showed people, he like showed on Twitter or whatever it was, his cool alien like sketches and right. stuff. He was kind of doing research or whatever. Well, you know, everyone was like, oh, cool, that'd be so cool if he did an alien movie, which I agree, it would be pretty awesome because all of his films have had this kind of cool real-world aesthetic. The effects have been so amazing in Elysium and District 9 and Chappie. His vision of an alien movie would be rocking. It would. But now I keep seeing these articles like, might we see a return of Ripley in a Neil Blomkamp alien movie? And the answer is, if you read the article, like if you're like, okay, I'm going to click on this clickbait, where he says that, well, I haven't really talked to Fox or anything, but that would be cool. You know, I'd try to find the time to do it, or, you know, maybe if they're interested in my vision or whatever. So the answer is no, there is no deal in place. They just want you to click on their story. Yeah. How many of those Neil Blomkamp stories did you see this week? Because one person writes it, then somebody picks it up, and they run with it too.
I don't know. I tend not to look at too much stuff like that. You know, it's like, it's until I hear from.
Yeah. Do you agree, Adam? Like, if it's a real story, then yeah, you wouldn't mind seeing that movie.
Right. Otherwise, it's just, I mean, unless if they, and maybe this may not matter, but it, even if they just said up front, this is only a rumor. But I'd rather read something like that when it's official.
It's basically like, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, it would be cool. Okay, now let's move on. What do you think of the Chappie trailer?
I really like it. I mean the, and I'm not. I mean, some people say, "Oh, it's like Short Circuit." But yeah. I think Blomkamp's, you know, kind of aiming, and it seems like maybe he's going for something just a little bit more optimistic than his previous movies, and the motion capture work that Charlton Copley, is that, if that's who you pronounce it?
Oh, is he Chappie?
He's doing the motion cap work for Chappie.
That's awesome. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not, and we've only got, you know, just so little amount about the story, but I mean, it looks like it could be a fun time. So we'll see.
I definitely think we're going to be crying in that movie, don't you, Chappie?
Yes. Does the Ant-Word get killed in it? Sorry, it's a band.
Yeah,
two actors.
Explain who that is. That girl in it.
The girl and the other dude with the bad tats. There's a
in Chappie.
Yeah, the. The chick with the really weird haircut and the other dude with the, he's got like just this little hint of a mustache, and his name is Ninja.
His name is Ninja.
Yeah.
And they're a band?
Yeah, they're a band called D-Antword, which is, it looks like Die Antword. But they're a South African rap bandish.
Okay. They were on David Letterman.
Yeah, I showed you them and. And
they're in the movie.
They're in the movie.
That's funny.
Because I started laughing. That's when I typed you. I was like, did you see the Chappie? And he was like, yeah, we've talked about this already. He's like, no, the people in it. You know, because like, did you recognize the chick from the video?
Totally.
And he's like, no.
Has Steven, leave me alone. It's 2 a.m. What the hell, baby?
But anyway, this wacky band that I like. They're strange, and they're in it, so.
That's going to be really distracting, Steven. I wonder if they have songs in it, too.
Will you know, I start like singing?
Tina Turner in Beyond Thunderdome. Hey, why don't you do some songs while you're here, right? No, that's okay.
Their music is kind of weird and kind of different. It's not typical, I guess, rap the way, I don't know. It's their street language over there is what they call it.
Interesting. Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Have you recorded a new podcast yet? A new episode?
No, I have not. I was hoping I could get in touch with either Andy or someone else, and maybe there may still be time this weekend, but in the event that wouldn't happen, I'm still trying to decide on what to talk about if I'm doing a solo podcast.
That's cool. Yeah. Just, if things don't work out, just hit record and start going. That works so well for us tonight, right? I'm kidding.
Right.
It's been fun.
You don't have
but
to,
yeah,
to
just
all your notes.
I, the last, you know, the first time I did a solo episode, I made sure that I had something to talk about, but there's a couple of areas I can go in. I just can't seem to make a decision. Also, I've just been ridiculously busy through the week, so
I'm really looking forward to you doing a show with Adam. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully, I can you know get him for in that, you know one day, you know for maybe an hour or two. So, but right now, I'm just happy if I can get anyone.
You know who was the guy on your very first episode?
Joe Stepp.
I thought he was a really good guest.
He was. I think he's had experience with podcasts before. He writes sometimes for this
a video game website called Plus 10 Damage. And so he really knows his stuff. And I was more than thankful that he was game for like a nearly 3-hour discussion.
Right.
But I mean, maybe I should contact him, see if he wants to do it again. So.
Yeah, would you like your format of the past and the pending is you talk about like a favorite film from the past, right?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a favorite. It's maybe something you've recently seen, something that's, you know, either available, but something from the past, something from the present, or as, you know, as recent as possible, whether that's a movie or a TV show or a game. Or even a book or music, if you want to talk about that. I've been thinking maybe just to keep it to movies, TVs, and possibly games, just so we won't have to cover so much ground, and maybe the guests won't feel like they need to do so much homework in order to prepare. But I've always, you know, been upfront by saying, you know, if you want to be on the guest, get in contact with me and we'll decide what's a comfortable level of ground that you want to cover. Because, you know, I want people to get involved for these one-on-one conversations.
You know, I just watched a film. You made me think of a film I just watched on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. It's called Chef. Jon Favreau wrote
yes.
it. Mm-hmm. Have you seen
yes, it? Yes, I have.
I thought it was excellent. And man, did it make me hungry, too.
Yes, it did.
There is a part where he makes a grilled cheese sandwich in that movie. And God, it looks so good.
I know it. I need to know what that recipe is. And did you stay for the end credits?
Yeah, I sure did. Where and you know what? I totally got that chef. He was showing him how to make the grilled cheese sandwich and how a chef would handle it. And when he said, this is the most important thing in the world while you're doing it. And if you mess it up, your life sucks. The day's ruined. And I totally understood that. There are times where you're so concentrating on something that you're doing that if it messes up, it really is. And no one else understands. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, it's like, damn it. You know, you screwed it up. But I totally got that when he said that. Not about being a chef, no. But I do get mad when I mess up dinner or something because that's happened before.
Right.
Or even like breakfast food where you overcook eggs or something. I'm just like, damn it! You know, I've done that before. But
yeah. Yeah, every time he'd take like a bite of it, you could hear that crunch. And then you see like how gooey the cheese was. And I was like, oh, this is killing me.
The sound of it, the crunch as he bit into it, man.
So that just reminds me of the sandwich shop up in Ohio called The Melt. It's a grilled cheese sandwich shop. That's
nice.
They've got like 100 different
and is it like
grilled
that?
Cheese. Yeah.
Oh man, that sounds good. You got to see Chef. That's really good. Really, really good.
I just told someone else about this place.
Steven, put that sandwich down. Seriously.
Good.
But it's a really good movie about like a guy connecting with his son for the first time. I mean, yes, they're like, Steven, stop eating while we're doing the show. No, but, you know, he does things with his son. He sees his son all the time, but he's not there. It's like his mind is on other things totally all the time. And, you know, it's funny because how many times when we were growing up, did you ever talk really like excitedly to your parents and they were like, and
no.
They weren't really listening? Or did your parents always listen, Steven?
No.
No.
I try
when my daughter's trying to tell me something, I try to pay attention. If I catch myself like not listening, I feel like the biggest dick in the world. And I'm like, wait, what did you just say? And then I like pay attention because I don't want to do what my parents did where they're not listening to you. Because there's nothing worse than somebody not listening when you're trying to tell them something.
What'd
Steven, wait. Damn it, Steven, you weren't listening. But I love that part of the film. It's a father and son connecting for the first time, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I kind of like – it's also a portrait of how artists clash with their critics.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
especially that scene where he just lays into the Oliver Platt character in that restaurant. It's funny and it's honest, but you know he's just making it worse for himself when he does it.
I love her. He's like, "You're not getting to me." And it's like, yeah, he's not getting to you at all. But
I just work my ass off and you just shit all over it.
Yeah. I work my ass off. Yeah, it is funny. Like, especially in this day and age, you know, there's a lot of internet and Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, once you make a comment, it doesn't go away.
Right.
And how, yeah, these are human beings and you're totally destroying them. You have someone who has like 200,000 followers or 500,000. They say something bad about somebody and all those people see it and they'll believe it or whatever. And
if they retweet it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Then you can just make things blow up. And that's a big part of the movie, too. It's really cool. Jon Favreau did a great job there. Watch it. It's on Netflix now.
David Cross's movie Hit was—he's trying to show it in theaters, and it—and I was on Facebook last night, and it said, you know, buy tickets to it. I was like, all right, is it playing here? It's playing in Dallas, but it played last night.
Oh man, it was one night only.
I think so. I'm gonna look and see. But I was just like, I wanted to support it, you know.
Yeah, explain that. Basically, David Cross made a film. It was low budget, obviously. Right. And he said
it was less than $1 million or right at $1 million.
And he wanted to get it into theaters.
Right.
So he created a Kickstarter to raise the money to release it.
Right.
But,
and he would try and bring it to the town you lived in to play it. Yeah.
It only aired once. I mean, it only screened once.
Yeah, in different locations, like in New York, it was playing all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
L.A., some of the bigger places were playing. And it was Thursday night. It was Friday night in Austin. It's, you know, playing this weekend in Houston or something, you know. But it was like it wasn't all weekend for, you know, it was like, why would you just show it on a Thursday night? You know, but I guess it's the place he could rent over.
It sounds like they're on a tour, I guess, right? They're traveling around with it?
Yes.
Kill that dog! I don't care about your podcast. Let me out!
But, he was going to... I don't think he's probably not touring. It was just... It's airing across the country at one
what
time.
Is the film called again?
Hit.
H-I-T. Hit?
Yeah. Hit or Hits. Hit. I don't remember.
Do exactly. You know what it's about?
Yeah. She's trying to, I think it's called Hits because she's getting hits on, trying to get popular online.
This
girl is trying to get popular.
Okay. It's about a girl who's trying to get hits on her YouTube or something.
Yeah. And her father does something and winds up becoming popular.
Oh, okay.
And so she's jealous of her dad.
Okay. And it's a comedy, obviously.
Yeah.
It's David Cross. Okay, that sounds cool. Maybe it'll come on video on demand eventually.
But she gets jealous and, you know, hates her dad, obviously, for getting popular. Everybody's asking her about her dad when she was like has her YouTube channel or whatever.
Right.
Hits.
A small town in upstate New York plays host to its inhabitants' delusions of grandeur. Well, that's not a very good description, is it? But it's got Michael Cera in it. It's got David Koechner.
Yeah, I think David Koechner is the dad.
It's got Jason Ritter in it, Amy Sedaris, Julia Stiles, Russ Tamblyn, and Amber Tamblyn, who, by the way, is David Cross's wife. Did you know that? He's married to Amber Tamblyn?
Yeah.
Cool. I would check this out. I mean, I like David Cross. He's a funny dude. Have you ever seen his stand-up?
Yes.
I know you have. Have you, Adam?
Heard two of his comedy albums.
It's funny stuff.
There was a new one they just put out on HBO. I recorded it.
Well, yeah, he directed a movie. I want to check it out. Definitely.
And he did a Q&A on Facebook the other day, and I was reading some of it, you know. And the movie Run, Ronnie, Run that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked him about that. He goes, it would have been so much better if we'd have put out the cut me and Odenkirk wanted to do.
Right, right. They're not happy with it. Like, the guy who directed it locked him out of the editing room is what they said.
Yeah. but he said it is one of his favorite characters to play, Ronnie Dobbs.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that happened.
So he lost a little creative control. Plus, I think they might be doing another Mr. Show.
Oh, really? That's funny because, you know, Bob Odenkirk's now...
Saul. He got
on Better Call Saul. He's great on that show. Things should blow up for him where he should get enough clout to bring back their old properties. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have all the Mr. Show series on the DVD, not
oh, really?
Blu-ray, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, that was originally on HBO, right? I wonder if Mr. Show's on HBO Go. Because pretty much all their stuff is.
It's fun to see, you know, Jack Black's on there all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the people who are like, what? You know,
Ryan Posehn was on there. Wasn't it Sarah Silverman on
there
a lot? Sarah
Silverman was on a lot.
Yeah, they had a lot of recurring, very funny
Friends.
Comedians and stuff.
So, yeah, it was a great show. It is a great show still, if you rewatch it.
Now, Adam and Steven, are you guys going to watch The Odd Couple with Matthew Perry?
Give it a shot.
I thought you were going to just shoot me down.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, they're doing a new Odd Couple
it's
with
gonna
Matthew
be bad,
Perry. And the guy, what's his name? Tom, what's that actor? The guy from Reno 911.
Yeah.
He's always funny.
Yeah.
CBS, hey, it's safe for old people, so I'm going to check it out. Did you see Conan where he was with... He went to that Korean spa with Glenn from The Walking Dead. And I love that they were laying like half naked on this bed of, he called it Cocoa Puffs. And there was this lady in there and he's like, hey, do you know who I am? Conan was asking the lady, he goes, no. And Glenn, you know, I forget the actor's name. Glenn from The Walking Dead. He goes, do you watch The Walking Dead? And she goes, no. Do you know who I am? No. Well, what show do you watch? 2 and a Half Men.
And Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, Everybody Loves Raymond. He's like, that's not on the air anymore. It was so funny.
But it was like, but she also said, it's not that good either.
Yeah, it's not that good. But she watches that. It's funny that was so funny, that whole bit there.
When he's getting his skin scraped off.
Yeah.
Is this an Android table where you do autopsies?
And then he was scrubbing his thigh.
Inner thigh.
Yeah, inner thigh. And he's like, whoa, whoa.
You took some skin off my nutsack.
It's really funny. That's on YouTube. But that's pretty funny stuff. Oh, okay. I want to talk about one more thing before we wrap it up. But... No, it's not premiering this tonight, but next Friday is the premiere of Jack and Triumph.
Yes. Comedy Central.
Comedy Central. I assume it's Adult Swim.
Yes, Adult Swim.
Are you guys going to watch it?
Yeah, so I posted the trailer for it or whatever.
Hell yeah, we're going to watch it, right?
Of course, it's so Triumph.
And you guys know how this got made. Did you ever see the bit that Jack McBrayer and Triumph did? It was at this, it's called the Wiener Circle when Conan was like in Chicago. And it's a place where they insult you. Like the people are actually mean.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really mean to Jack McBrayer, so he goes, I'll be right back. And he comes back with Triumph, where Triumph starts insulting them. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, my God. Let's watch some of this. This is so funny, man.
But it's
now, there are many famous landmarks here in Chicago, but none is more loved than the Wiener Circle. Let's face it. People love the Wiener Circle. People go there for the Chicago hot dogs and also for the extremely hostile staff. See, they put down the customers who in turn yell back at them. It's a tradition. It's fun. It's intense. It's very, very vulgar. All right? We thought as an experiment, we would send to the Wiener Circle the nicest, most polite person we know, Jack McBrayer of 30 Rock. Look at that face. Such a nice guy. We wanted to see how Jack would handle this incredibly abusive environment. Here now is his report.
What the hell you want to do?
Get in line. Let's go, Nick.
Who me out the damn way! Get the out! Get the out! Put your midget at.
I love it. They just.
Plus my tip.
So damn you never heard of
it. Step up, you game banger.
Hey, Conan. I'm here right outside the Wiener Circle. Thanks so much for sending me here. I'm real excited. I've heard great things, and it looks like there's a lot going on in there. So come on, let's go check it out.
Why are you yelling at me?
Why the f***
it's not even done. Why are you yelling
at me? Why are you crying?
Next homie, bitch, and last step up.
What you want?
I don't know the difference between a Vienna Red Hot and a Char Dog.
One Char Dog, one Cheddar Burger.
I'm letting you know, I just want a hot dog.
Do you want a Char Dog steak, you slow motherfucker?
I would like a regular Char Dog. Mustard and ketchup, please.
So you want the mustard and cheese? Bitch, that's a Char Cheddar Dog. Mustard and cheese.
Hey, wipe your face, you sweat like the motherfucker. What's going on? You need to stop doing them drugs, motherfucker.
I don't do drugs at all.
You don't do drugs, sir.
I've never done that.
Well, you're doing something. What the f*** you nervous for?
Ginger boy.
Yeah, you look like
Ginger. Ginger boy.
Can you say something for
him? No, he look like, more like Ken.
Don't make him
sit. Barbie's my f***ing boyfriend.
Malibu Ken. Where's Barbie, asshole? Where's the f***ing gingerbread man?
I'm a paying customer.
Put the fab in there. Thank you.
You can't force people to
tip. Grab his money from the teacher.
Whoever the f*** gave you that toupee, that f***ing rude.
I'm going to leave.
I don't give
you've been treating me very rude. I'm coming back with a friend and you will be very sorry.
Yeah, man. You're a friend.
He looks all sad. Brought triumph with
it. People hurt your feelings.
They hurt your feelings.
Next bitch and get a ruddy ass dog be like,
who's calling who a bitch?
You up to the
oh,
bitch.
Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, skanky smurf.
I just blew it.
You listen to me, Queen Laquifa. Listen to you in your mouth. Do you kiss your pimp with that mouth?
Is this your boyfriend?
You know what they say.
Are you f***ing his dog?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That's perfectly natural where he comes from. Why are you so mean to this kid? His sisters used to tease him mercilessly, especially during sex.
That's not true.
Don't be ashamed. Hey, tell your honor, put some here for
you know why you guys work for tips? Because no one will stick the whole thing in. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you didn't go to high school.
Oh, no, you didn't wash your ass today.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your mama's and your daddy's and your sister's and your that's right. I said it. And you know I'm going to stick my head in the marble sofa where the faces fall off and the juice says, you ain't all that. That's what you're going to take me out to the ball game. I don't even care if I ever come back. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dream Coat, Green Tomato, Stephen A. Smith, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. That's right, America Ferrara, 800-588-2300, Empire Base. Say hurtful things. Words matter. Seriously.
Seriously.
Yelling at people like this for a living. How do you sleep in your car at night? Holy sh! I didn't know Tyler Perry worked here. I love you, Medea, bitch.
Is your honor choice?
Hey, leave the nerd on my arm out
of here. Is your owner
you're Jewish.
Oh, my- man, nothing gets past you.
Yeah, whatever.
Especially carbohydrates. Right? Oh, yeah. Who's up here? I'm confident. I love you. You're like Nicki Minaj, minus the everything.
And we work for you.
We want to show you how it's done. Come on. No, we're coming in there and showing you how it's done.
Char dog, char dog.
You want a char dog? How about a shut the up with cheese? Right? Walk away. Walk away, asshole. Find it on Jack. Relish, onions, disinfectant.
Yeah, I'll take a hot dog. Sorry.
Jack, take this guy. I gotta get him out of here.
Do you want this wiener to go, or would you like to shove it up your ass right here?
Very good. Very good. Shut up!
That's good. Tip.
That's not bad. Bitch, tip!
Hey, bitch, put your hand down.
Bitch, put your hand down!
No, I ain't
no.
You listen, I have your food coming at you. Oh, I don't.
Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does.
I like the arm.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, he does.
I thought that I'd get you.
Now we...
Pam. You gonna sign this titty before you go.
Common understanding.
Now Tramp's throwing up over everybody.
That dude looks pissed.
He looks really pissed.
The Wiener Circle is a great place for me to puke on.
It looks like mustard. Like he shot mustard all over everybody. Oh my god, that was so freaking funny.
Oh my god.
Oh, I can't wait for Jack and Triumph on Friday next week. That's awesome.
I'll be crying during that show.
Oh, I know. Because he does they do more man on the street stuff where he's just
going to insult out on the street.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, guys, that's our show for the evening. Unless you guys have anything else to talk about.
And then obviously I'll send you voicemail and feedback for this, but your Chuck Companion podcast has really, really, really been awesome so far.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I want to crank them out because there's so many to do, you know? And while I've got this kind of drive in me to do it, I want to keep doing it. I don't want to slow down.
Well, I'm halfway through season one. I'll probably finish season one tomorrow.
Excellent, because season two is fantastic. Adam, you've seen season two. Don't you think season two is excellent?
I do think season two is excellent. I'm between the three. I'm halfway through season four. On some level, I kind of like. I don't know. Season three was definitely pretty good too. I probably can't choose a favorite right now.
Yeah, it's hard for me too at times. And
yeah. But there, yeah, what a really great show.
There are definitely moments where, just thinking back on it, it's now that it's all on Netflix and it's done, is so much different. When they thought they were going to be canceled at every moment,
yeah.
Like the showrunners have said that we had to like speed up the process and the different character moments. Because we always thought we were going to get canceled. Like, okay, we got to do all this now because we're going to get canceled. But then they would get more. They would get a stay of execution. They'd be able to do more. And it kind of, when you watch it now and not knowing that context, it's awesome that they give you answers and there's actually character progression. You know what I mean? There's growth.
Yeah, that's one of the marks of how good of a show it is. Where in you almost think for a minute that when they're doing their, you know, each episode seems to be devoted to a particular mission, mm-hmm. and a lesser show would have just, you know, fallen into the trap of just doing, oh, here's another mission, like it's a Law and Order series or something. But everything that happens on the show episode to episode
right.
affects these characters, especially Chuck. So there's like a dramatic through line through each season.
There's a great balance where it will be an overall story arc, and then that'll get wrapped up mid-season, and then they'll do three standalone episodes that are really fun, and then a new story arc will kick in, you know, for the rest of the season. It's, right. And it works really well.
And even the smaller stuff seems to count in ways that you don't really anticipate.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, because part of me doing this Chuck podcast is trying to figure out, why do I love this show so much? Why can I watch it over and over again? And I think it's just because it's so damn fun. Like, I have so much fun watching it. You know what I mean? I mean, dark things happen on the show. Bad things happen on the show. And there's definitely some cool action parts on the show. But it also, you know, I've said on the podcast, it does warmth like no other show. When they have those moments at the end with the whole cast together, you know, they do those so much better. I mean, they do I'm going to say so much better. It's such a strength of theirs, you know, this warm moments, like a Thanksgiving episode or a Christmas episode. They just always get me. And I'm like, damn it, you did it again, man, you know. And that's why I'm having fun doing the podcast.
Well, keep it up, sir.
Thank you. I just finished the third one, and I'll be posting that this weekend, hopefully. And I have a Chuck blog where I'm going to try to write about each episode as I post it. And that's kind of a different thing for me also.
It's not the Sigabuku blog?
I've changed it. It's no longer that. It's now chuckpodcast.blogspot.com.
Okay.
So Sigabuku doesn't exist anymore. Now it's
rest in peace, Sigabuku.
Yeah, rest in peace. Maybe it'll come back.
It'll come back as something else.
Oh my God. I have a Rick voicemail. I totally forgot about this.
Yay.
I have a Rick voicemail. And before we leave, let's listen to Rick, huh? We haven't heard from this guy in so long. So let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Rick again. Boom. Boom. Yeah, it's me. Anyway, I just want to say I'm still here, all right? I haven't gone anywhere, and I've been listening, and it's been really fun. Everything that's coming out of ETL has been sensational. You know, the normal episodes, ETL Daily, there's the new Chuck episodes. It's just been a lot of great stuff coming out, and I just want you guys to keep going. You know, I really do love the loose stuff. It's been just really fun. And I hope one day I can come on the ETL dailies and just have a yarn, you know, about whatever.
Definitely.
Just, you know, let me know. The time difference is a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
But we'll make it work, and one day I'll be on. Like Tron. That's the only rhyming word I could think of.
I like that.
2 seconds. Anyway.
On like Tron.
Where was I? What have I watched? I've been watching a lot of stuff, like too much. That's probably why I haven't been sending voicemail, because I've been watching too much stuff. But I'd rather be like on the show and have a chat in person, because then I can, you know, have a bit of back and forth about the different stuff I've been watching. But one thing I've been watching probably too much was What We Do in the Shadows. I think I've watched that about 4 times in the last month with different people that haven't seen it before. And I can watch that again and again and not get bored. I, like, watched it 2 days in a row, and I enjoyed it more and more each time. So, What We Do in the Shadows, if you haven't seen it, give it a watch. You know, it's that New Zealand mockumentary about vampires. Very well done.
Oh my God, I know what you're talking about. It's just a good amount of fun. Oh, I want
but
to see that so
just
bad.
Keep doing what you're doing, guys. I love it. I love it all. I love you guys. Big kiss. This was Rick from Australia.
Thank you, Rick.
Little kiss.
Back to you.
Awesome. It was so good to hear from you, Rick. And, you know, it was funny because Bill and I were just talking about this movie, and I actually watched the trailer, I swear, like 2 years ago. and it looked hilarious. It's the Flight of the Conchords guys.
Oh, okay.
And they made this vampire documentary or whatever you want to call it, mockumentary. And just watch the trailer on YouTube. It looks hilarious, and God, I want to watch this. So it's funny he brought that up like a day after Bill told me about it, and I was like, I forgot all about that movie. But I just don't have the – I'm going to now put it in my memory, What We Do in the Shadows. But that's awesome. That's a great note to end the show on with a Rick voicemail. Adam Sexton, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's good. Thank you for inviting me once again, sir.
Good to have you here, sir. And also Stephen, the pop culture zealot, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Baby Dog, thank you for ruining the show. What's wrong with you?
I started playing with her to keep her from ringing the bell, so...
I know. She's making so much noise! It drives me crazy! But, guys, thank you so much for listening. And before we go, please go to ETL... No, what is it called? I haven't done this so much. Please go to etlandfill.com and check out the show there. You could send us a voicemail. No, you can't. You could... send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail. And as I pull up the website here, because I don't remember the number. And you could call our voicemail line at 1-206-309-4729. And on the website, you can find links to all of our old shows, the archive. You could join us on our ETL fan club and even follow us on Twitter. But also, you click on the Chuck Companion link, and you can find my new Chuck blog. Woohoo! I'm doing a new podcast called The Chuck Series Companion, where I watch every episode over again and then do a podcast about it. There are 91 episodes, so it is going to take me a while. So if you want to watch Chuck on Netflix and then come back to the episode, you know, don't wait on me. It'll take forever to get through all the episodes. But if you want to watch the show, it's my favorite show. I love it. And now I'm doing a podcast. Basically, I was telling you, Adam, that I've looked for Chuck podcasts before, like see people talking about it. But I'm like, they're not doing it right, and it makes me mad. So I'm doing the podcast that I want to listen to, that I wished existed that I could listen to, where basically when I watch Chuck and I love it, and I wanted somebody to share it with. So anybody who loved Chuck, listen to the podcast, and hey, I'm gonna love it with you. You know, we're sharing it together. We're appreciating it together, and that's what I wanted to do. So I hope you dig that. So check that out. I'm gonna kill this dog. But also, the for right now, the Chuck podcast is appearing on our regular show feed. And eventually I'm going to create an iTunes feed where it's just in its own category. So I'll let you know when that happens. But for right now, you can get it on the regular feed. So thank you guys so much for downloading the show. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And like I said, like I've said before, feedback is what fuels me. So send in that feedback, send voicemails or emails or whatever. I love hearing from you. If you like the Chuck podcast, let me know. And also, I'd like to thank our patrons. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show all this time. And it really helps when I know that people are there. Patrons are there, and they want the show, and they expect it. And doing the ETL dailies has given me a chance to keep doing the show. You know, like, if I can't do it the regular way, I want to put a show out. But one thing you guys should know, when you listen to the Chuck Series Companion, I'm, like, excited about it. I'm putting a lot of work into it. It's basically like the NIMH Movie Minis, like you were saying, Adam, but for a TV show. And I hope people dig it. I need to just stop talking, but I just want to thank all our patrons, and thank you for your support, and hopefully you keep listening to the show. So, guys, that's our show. Adam, Steven, see you guys later.
Later. Check you later.
Yelling at people like this for a living? How do you sleep in your car at night?
Now this is podcasting.